just briefly review, you've heard this over and over for about 8 years, but in case any of you do not know what the long-range cottons are, they're new germplasm lines which carry the reniform resistance gene or cassette, whatever it is, from Gossypium longicalyx. And most of our studies, initial studies, have been involved with the HLA hybrid, where the F genome there shown in blue is forced up against an A genome. And as a consequence, we've been able to introgress this material into chromosome 11, into the end of chromosome 11. We've also, and you'll hear more about this in the future, we also made another hybrid where we substituted the F genome in for the D genome. And as I had hoped, and the geneticist told me it would never work, we in fact put the gene into chromosome 21 in this case. And I don't have time to go over that data today, but there's little doubt that we in fact have achieved the substitution into either of the homeologues. We've studied three major groups here. The first group we created was the HeLa A group. It involved eight backcross families, families derived from eight different backcross 1 plants. 2 years later, we created the HeLa B group with a common male parent that we knew what it was. And we now have studied 15 lines out of the 14 families here. And finally, of course, we're working with the HHL group, and we've studied now 8 families derived from 6 backcross 1 parents. This is the section of the chromosome from Gossypium longicalyx that is integressed into either chromosome 11 or 21. It's actually a sizable piece of the end of a chromosome that is recombined and substituted for the end of either 11 or 21. Oh, I need to go back briefly there. One of the things that we have done, see if I can work this. We've tried to break up this longicalyx piece to try to improve agronomic performance and get rid of undesirable effects. All the red arrows there indicate points of recombination. And I'm not very gifted at this, but if you look at the top red arrow there, last year we reported that we'd been successful in removing the end of the longicalyx segment and putting in its place the end of the chromosome from a calonemix, hopefully carrying the RKN1 gene for root knot resistance and thereby creating a NEMSTAC, a series of NEMSTAC lines that are resistant to the whole nematode package. I'm going to quickly go through these objectives. The first objective I want to talk about then was to evaluate these NEMSTAC lines and see whether they indeed are resistant to both root knot and reniform nematodes. As I say, we use the SER316202 marker out of calonemix, and its recombination with the BNL327914 marker from longicalyx as an indicator that we probably had created the stack. Two, I want to briefly discuss the results of some of our more improved lines from the HLA group at Louisiana, at St. Joseph in the last 2 years. Finally, I'll make some notes on our plots this year where we looked at a huge number of lines, mostly as SIB lines, comparing the BC7S1 susceptible SIB with the progeny from them with the BC7S1 resistant. And one of these fields was in the absence of nematode on the upland farm. The other was on a reniform infested field in the Brazos River Valley. This just simply briefly shows you that for three of our NEMSTAC lines, ME25, MM9, and MO30, we indeed have put resistance to root knot nematode at a pretty high level into these lines. One line, though, the MO30, even though we recombined the markers, we did not incorporate the root knot resistance gene. So for those of you who are working with lawn rent and want border markers, we now have a lawn rent that you have border markers for. You can select for those two markers and know for certain that you have the lawn rent gene. This simply here shows their performance on reniform field, and you can see again that lines carrying either the BNL 3279 marker alone homozygous or the stack, which is indicated as both, are highly resistant to reniform nematode. The SEER 316 root knot alone gave some suppression of reniform as well, but not nearly as much as the stack combination. Fiber quality, yield-wise, the ME25, MM9, and MO30 lines all have very good yield, very good fiber quality. ME25 is exceptional. It has essentially identical fiber, I mean, perfect fiber quality. It's the goals we seek. It has excellent yield. It out-yielded most commercial non-transgenics in the upland farm at College Station. We plan to be releasing these as new germplasm in the coming year, the ME25, the MM9, and the MO30. Some of the other lines still had some major problems in fiber quality and yield. They will not be released. If anyone's interested in looking at them from a basic genetic study, we'd be glad to provide them. This then, jumping to St. Joseph, shows the suppression of the reniform populations at St. Joseph's in 207. You can see both Laundrin 1 and Laundrin 2 were very, very effective. They reduced populations well below those pre-planting during the course of the season. An interesting effect is that these were done by Charlie Overstreet, most of these studies, and Jack Jones. The interesting thing is that when we replanted back on Laundrin beds in 208, there was a tremendous increase in vigor. So the Laundrin cottons are going to give a tremendous second year payoff and may even allow the planting of a susceptible cotton. So I must move on quickly. This is an assortment of Laundrins, some of our newer material, NEMSTACK material, all at St. Joseph's in this year. And you can again see that all the material carrying the Laundrin section were highly effective. If you look at the very bottom line, look at the accumulation of all the R lines against the S lines, even by June 3rd, populations were reduced to 46%. By September 2, they were reduced to only 11%. And again, most of the populations were well below those of pre-planting. So it's very, very effective in the field at this location. Again, this is at College Station. These are some of our newer materials coming out of the Gila B group. And again, you can see we got a mean of 70% reduction in nematode populations by early September. This is very consistent, all Laundrin lines. We actually had 148 progeny rows in here carrying the Laundrin segment compared to 132, I guess it was, that did not carry the Laundrin segments. And without section, every one of the progeny rows give a consistent reduction. Now, we had done preliminary screening here based on using the BNL 1231 marker as the best indicator of resistance. BNL 1231 has turned out over 40,000 plants to be the perfect marker for Laundrin resistance. This is to show on the upland farm without nematodes. This is a mean of 42 and 71 progeny rows from the various susceptible and resistant BC7S1 sibs. Again, we've got an excellent yield. This, I've got four other data sets that show this too, that the resistant plants actually out-yield the susceptibles on a nematode-free situation. They also out-yield most of the non-transgenic commercials. The lint percent is slightly reduced, and this is again a consistent feature. We do get a little less lint percent, and the lint per plant, however, is still greater in the Laundrin materials. in fiber quality. And again, we have many data sets show the same thing. When we attach the Lonergan segment to the end of chromosome 11, you get a decrease in micronair. You get a slight decrease in length, which is not desirable, but you get an increase in uniformity, and you get an increase in length. So the Lonergan calyx segment actually increases fiber quality in three of the four critical attributes. When we went to the Brazos bottom, several people have told me this. They used a number of four-letter words, said, all your cotton looks like blankety-blank. And particularly when we've tried to go on to reniform lands, Jack Jones has observed this in Louisiana. He's observed it in Mississippi. Charlie Cook's observed it. They say, Al, your stuff is stunted. It looks awful. And this year we had, this is our Brazos River Valley nursery on reniform land, and these are paired sib rows. So that if you look at your far left, you see the stunted row is sitting between its two sister susceptible rows. These are isolines, BC. Some of them we got in here was actually BC9. These particular ones right here, BC7 progeny rows from BC7 S1 sibs. And then as you go over, you see two short rows there. The field was planted in a zigzag pattern. And those two rows together actually both came out, were planted by the number four planter box. This was four row planting equipment. And the interesting thing that we found, this just shows a close-up of it, but when we analyzed these, we went in and had three people independently grade stunting using, in the pairs, using the taller variety, giving it a value of 5 and rating the other row against it in an arbitrary score. But what we found is that indeed vigor was greatly reduced. This is on the third week in June, in resistant lines compared to susceptible. But what was most interesting is that the sib that came out of the number 4 or D planter box was significantly more inhibited than that which came out of the number 2 planter box. Well, this, of course, right away raised a flag and said, hey, this is not hypersensitivity to nematode. This is, in fact, due to some chemistry in the cultural practices. So we went back, and of course, there also was a similar reduction in stand from the D planter box compared to the V planter box. So we went back then and started looking at what's different between the chemicals we're using in the Brazos River Valley opposed to those of the Upland Farm. And to make a long story short, we went through all the pesticides and everything, but when we came to the photosynthesis inhibiting herbicides, Caprol or Cotteran, you can see here two resistant rows by a susceptible row. See, the resistant rows here are already turning chlorotic and looking poorly. A week later, they were dead. The susceptible row is still alive and well. We also compared this then with Treflan and Prowl and with a control. And the two resistant materials actually looked better with Treflan and Prowl than the susceptible. And it, of course, it looked better with the controls. We've run a number of studies since, and indeed that stunning phenomena is due to herbicide poisoning pre-plant. And you cannot use this class of herbicides with Lonergan resistant material, at least when it's the 11. Now, we're seeing some indication where we substituted into 21, you will be able to use these herbicides with it. So that it appears what's happened here is that we've knocked out the normal herbicide detox gene, which unfortunately, it turns out to be at exactly the same location on the chromosome as the Lonergan calyx resistance. We've also examined the question of hypersensitivity, because last year when we first saw this, a lot of people said, well, this is due to, probably due to hypersensitivity to the nematode. Well, this shows you, indeed, there is a stunning associated with resistance. The first row over on your right and the third row over are resistant plants compared with their susceptible sibs. You can see that at this stage, indeed, they are shorter. They don't look quite as thrifty. A week and a half later, you still see this marked stunning of the resistant compared to the susceptible. But then the resistant start to catch up. And if you look at this graph here, of internode links, you can see that the stunning is a result largely of the shortening of the hypocaudal and internode 1. Even by internode 2, the resistant internodes now are starting to elongate more than the susceptibles. And if you look at a cumulative data, what you see is that by the fifth internode, resistant plants, in fact, have caught up. And by 120 days later, you have cotton on the resistant plants. You don't on the susceptibles. 29 out of 30 susceptibles in this particular experiment, the susceptible sibs did not yield any cotton. They aborted every flower bud or every fruit. On the other hand, 25 out of the 30 resistant lines bore at least one bowl of substantial amounts of cotton. So the yield differences were essentially 100%. We've also looked at where we do inoculations with nematode suspensions, and we see a similar effect. The resistance, while you have a range of performance, each dot here performs is a progeny set from a single plant.
We're going to have to stop at this point, Alan.
This is the last slide.
Okay. Yes.
So that you do have a range of performance amongst individual plants in either susceptible or resistant, but overall there's actually a yield advantage, even though there was an early stunting from the resistant material. And I thank you. Hopefully the conclusions are obvious.